Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson, part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news about the Tennessee Thunder and the USWFL. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawk Radio in the search box.
All right. Welcome to the fifth quarter of Coach Johnson. Glad to be back on here. Pretty day in East Tennessee for a change. Really excited about this weather changing. Going to be a good conversation tonight. We got Miss Shebony Jackson from the RVA Tomahawks joining us first, and then Michael Vitale joining us from the Detroit Prowl later on. They play each other the April the 1st in the first week matchup of the USWFL. I expect that to be a good game. Should be a barn burner out there. I know they've been getting ready and pressing hard and preparing, and I really can't wait to get them on here and find out a little bit more. I've had them both on before, but that was a while back. You know, lots have happened since I've had them on here. A lot have came and gone, and looking forward to hearing how they're preparing and how well they're ready to go. You know, there's no doubt that I'm excited, to say the least, to get the season started and get kicked off. And last week we had one of the owners from Cincinnati Sizzle, Jackie Euchard, on, and the coach Keith from Michigan Queens, had him on. Like the way he thinks, you know, we had a good conversation, and you know, we view things a lot in the same way. Cincinnati actually travels to Detroit to play the Michigan Queens, and the Detroit Prowls actually going to travel to RVA to play them. And in the next week, I'm gonna have the three owners from the Iron Woman teams and the Jamboree for that. It's going to be in Columbia, South Carolina, hosted by the South Carolina Scorpions. It all should be a great, great weekend of football kicking off. I know, like I said, the WNFC is kicking off at the same time, and the WFA don't kick off till April the 22nd, I believe it is. But, man, it's getting ever so close. One weekend from this coming Saturday, you know, it's everybody's cramming in those last minute practices and trying to get everything ready. I know as far as the Thunder goes, trying to get all this special team stuff, you know, this seems like there ain't enough hours in the day when you go to practicing with many green young girls as we've got, and man, you use all the time trying to just learn them what to do. And then, you know, you got to, at least we don't have to, Iron Woman, you don't have to worry about kickoff return. But you will have punt return, field goals if you kick them, extra points, stuff like that. And, man, I'm telling you, it's tough. And, I know that these two teams I have on here tonight, they have several coaches and several players, which makes it a lot different than our situation, no doubt. But, you know, it's still tough when you start teaching young girls and green girls, you know, what punts and punt returns and kickoffs and kickoff returns. You know, some of them just don't know the difference. You know, we were working on it this past weekend, and a girl was like turning around blocking her own person, you know, and that's sad. You know, I mean, that's where we're at with women's football a lot. You just don't have the knowledge there, you know, and then trying to cram it in, it's just little time. It gets hard sometimes, no doubt about it. And like I said, the Iron Woman division, because of the lack of players, does not have kickoff or kickoff return. So that's one less thing they have to worry about. So that's a good thing for them. I know that those teams don't have, the Iron Women's don't have very many teams. And, you know, it is exactly what it says it is. When we set this up years ago, we went to the 22 number to be Iron Woman, and we stressed it to 25 this year, but nobody's going to have that many. But it truly needs to be 22. I'd like to next year to get that back, and, you know, to make it that, you know, that's, to me, that's truly what it is. And we sort of just thought about it and broadened it a little bit, but it needs to be 22, and then everything above that. I think that would be a good break, because that's truly, when we started that, we had several, well, 90% of the teams were Iron Woman teams. I think there was two or three that wasn't, you know, and good chance this year that, you know, most of those teams in the mid-major division could fall under the Iron Woman, but because of travel or because of where they were or just numbers when they called in to tell us what division to play in, may have, you know, made their decision for them. So it certainly, you know, makes good football to get these teams paired upright and parity. You know, I was talking to, you know, a guy the other day, and he was like, you know, he this guy said he played college football, and I don't know if he did or not, but he was like, you know what, the best thing that I learned about football is it doesn't matter if it's single A, if it's double A, if it's 6A, or if it's Southern Conference or the SEC Conference or whatever kind of football. If the teams are equally matched, it makes good football. And that's what we've been after for since we started this league and took it over. And, you know, we got to get back to that. Who knows what's going to happen this year. We have a lot of new teams. We have a lot of teams that look new because they got so many new players. You know, so who knows what it's going to look like. But we're going to continue to try to build on it and make it better and make it fun. You know, I know for a fact that, you know, when I was talking to Coach Keith last week, and I actually talked to him a couple of days before that, and he was like, you know what, for the first time, I'm just excited to be in a league where, you know, if I pick up the phone, I can get a hold of the owner. If I pick up the phone to talk to somebody rather than a answer machine or whatever, I can talk to somebody. And to have, you know, to be able to play the games and have the schedule, and it's set in stone. It's been set in stone. We hadn't had to change it. And the girls are looking forward to playing football, having fun, having a chance at making the playoffs and at winning a championship. He said, man, I'm so excited this year, more so than I've been in the past. And I can relate to that. I really can. And that's what we want here. You know, that's our goal. And, you know, when I have these owners, which is Chevany, I talked to her today, you know, and we talked a little bit of text, a little bit of back and forth about certain things. And that's the way I want it to be. If they reach out to me, I want to be able to reach back out to them. I don't like this email crap, but who checks their emails and all that. I mean, believe it or not, I got an email, but I don't know how to check it. I don't know how to send no emails back, but I do know how to send a text, and I know how to pick up the phone and answer it or call and that. So, you know, they can reach me at any time they want. And there's not one single one of them that hasn't reached out to me that I wasn't available just in a short period of time. So I like that. I want to be a hands-on owner. I want to, you know, when I say grow this league, I don't want to have 40 teams. That's not my goal. I want to have good quality teams. Whatever, you know, that number becomes to, then that's what it'll become to. But I want good quality teams that, you know, no matter what division they're in, want to play their games, continue to work hard to get better, and, you know, strive to be the best. And You know, we got a long way to go, no doubt about it. But I really believe we got a good start with the teams we have this year. I really believe that. They've all, you know, like I said, been there when you contact them. You wouldn't believe so many times over the years you have these teams and you can't get a hold of nobody, you know, and you might go weeks and trying to get a hold of somebody. And I can't deal with that because, you know, if for instance, if Shebany calls me and needs to know something and she can't get a hold of them, I need to be able to get a hold of them, you know, and that's just the way it is. And that's the way I like to do things. And we'll see what happens come into the year. You know, my maiden goal every single year for every team to play all their games. That's my goal this year. You know, we set up the schedule to take the main holidays off, like Easter and Mother's Day and Memorial Day, things of that nature, to keep a lot of the teams from not being able to travel. You know, I know over the past several years that when we'd have teams that wouldn't show up or forfeit games, it'd be like, oh, well, it's Memorial Day, we can't make it, you know, or, well, it's Easter Sunday or it's Mother's Day. And I get it. I like to show respect to those as well. But, you know, so anyway, we took those days off to give everybody an opportunity to get on there and show up, do things right, do what's, you know, what we need to make this all work. And, you know, I say it every week, and some people don't believe it, and a lot of people don't get it, but we're all in it together in one way, fashion, or form. If one team forfeits, then women's football hurts. It's not just the team that they forfeit on. It's the whole women's football society, because that's just a notch. And, you know, and I'm really trying my best to keep that from happening, and I hope it can. I hope that, you know, if some kind of problem arises, we're able to work through it and do what's right and what's best to not let it happen. And you know, we've had several group calls or whatever you want to call that, talked about it, and we're getting ready to have another one probably this coming week, and just to make sure everybody's ready to go. I know I've talked to them personally, but make sure that, you know, they can get a hold of one another. And that's the key, is for them to be able to get a hold of one another, because if they can't get a hold of me, I mean, they can get a hold of me, but if they can't get a hold of them, they'll get a hold of me. And I would, you know, like for them to talk direct without me having to be the middle person. But if I have to, that's so be it. I can be that. But communication, you know, and like I say, I want everybody to, you know, to have the best season they possibly can. These girls, I know, especially RVA, has been working hard for several months. You know, Shebany was the first team. Her team was the first one that actually signed to play here. And, you know, they've been working hard for a long time. And, you know, we're getting ready to see how much of that's going to pay off 1 week from Saturday. And I got a feeling that, you know, that they're ready to go. I just, you know, I get that feeling. Of course, I haven't been to any of the practices and haven't seen any of the practices. But I know, you know, she likes to do things the right way and likes to be on top of stuff. So I'd imagine that they're going to be ready to go. Michael's the same way. So I'm betting they're going to be ready to go as well. And it should be an awesome game. I really look forward to that. And you know what? The way that our jamboree falls, it's a good chance I'll get to see every bit of that game because we played the first two games over there. Thunder plays South Carolina, and then the Thunder plays Huntsville, and then Huntsville plays South Carolina. So they're going to live stream it, so I should be able to get to see that game. So it should be an awesome game. And like I say, I can't wait to, for them to get on here and us to talk about it and get started. Because, man, I'm excited. I'm telling you, it seems like it's been forever. I know it has for me personally, you know, being injured in September and just now really getting to where I can do things as normal as I can, I guess. And, you know, it's been a long winter, I can assure you that. A lot longer than what I'd imagine. Even though it's not been that bad of a winter, it's been a long one. If you live where it's cold, it's been cold and rainy. And, you know, it's been for sure long in Upper East Tennessee, I can assure you that. And, you know, it's supposed to rain here all day on Saturday, and we still got a lot of stuff to get covered. You know, the good thing is that no matter what happens in week one, I mean, I know a lot of people, whoever wins, you know, they're fans, and probably a lot of people saying, oh, man, they're gonna go all the way to the championship, win a championship, and that very well could be. But, you know, winning the first game doesn't always mean anything. You know, they say that you have the most progress between week one and week two in football. So it doesn't have any bearing on what's going to happen at the end of the year until you start piling up those wins. And then when you start stacking them on top of one another week after week after week, yeah, it means something. And to win a game means something. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about putting emphasis on winning. I think it's huge, you know, but I always say I learn more from my losses than I ever did from winning, you know, because when you win, sometimes you don't win as many times as probably what you should, but, you know, when you lose, you actually watch that film. You know, I know 2 years ago, we were in the USWFL, and we went to Richmond to play the River City Sting, I guess is their name, and they beat us. And that not only beat us, they beat us down pretty good. And, you know, the very next week they played somewhere around Richmond, played another team, which I can't remember their name either right now, but they're from up in that area. And me and Mike drove all the way up there, you know, to watch the game. And, you know, we were talking on the way up there. It was like, you know, would we be making this trip had we won, you know, last week? And the answer was probably no. We probably wouldn't. But being we lost, we the Firehawks is who they were. And we went up there to scout them out because I didn't want a two losses back-to-back. You know, I wanted to know what we was getting into. We knew nothing. Well, we knew very little about the Sting, and you know what? They were ready to play, man. They were ready to play. We really weren't ready to play, and they beat the Firehawks. And then the next week, we went back up there and beat the Firehawks, and then we played the Sting again, and we actually lost to them in a championship game. And every single game we kept. I mean, it was tougher and tougher and tougher. I mean, they knew they were in a game. I know one of the coaches that was on that staff, and he was like, man, he sent me a message this year. He said, it's going to be odd not playing for you, but I'm not going to lie. I'm not mad because we don't have to prepare for you. And, you know, so you learn so much from them losses. You fight harder. You do things harder. And it for sure puts a bad taste in my mouth. I can assure you that. So I tend to dig deeper and want to mend those losses versus, you know, when you win, you sort of, I ain't going to say get complacent, but, hey, you know, you must have did a lot of things right. You won, and a lot of little things you missed along the way that you might have could have, you know, got. And so there's a lot to be said by winning or losing. I'm just trying to get to the point that no matter what happens, that nobody's going to win a championship in week one. That's my point. Now, like I say, you can get yourself a good start toward it, towards the end goal, no doubt about that. But you're not going to win a championship week one. There's very, I don't know, figure is for the NFL teams, but you look at what Philadelphia did this year. You know, they started out on fire, won how many games, 12, 13, 14, I don't know, in a row. One team got close to them, but other than that, they sort of blew away everybody, you know, and then gets down to the stretch, and then they do get beat. They lose two games, and then they just mow over everybody in the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl and got beat. Years before that, New England was undefeated and got beat. So there's lots to be said about, you know, these teams going, you know, winning so many games in a row. But it's going to be exciting, no doubt about it. It's going to be good football. Like I said, I can't wait. I'm really excited about it. So hopefully we can, have a good season and get things going exactly, kicked off right, and do things like we need to do to make this happen. You know, that's what it's about for me. So I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to get started, you know, and no doubt about it. So, hopefully we'll be getting Chevany called in here in the next little bit. I talked to her in the last little bit, but, like I said, last week I had the Cincinnati team, Jackie Euchre called in. They're going to the Michigan Queens. Also, their other owner, she got busy at work and couldn't call in. And she actually had to work, and she sent me a message after that saying she hated she couldn't be on, but she couldn't. And she plays running back for them, you know, and I like to get these coaches and our owners that are coaches on, and owners or players, and first one thing another, it's always exciting. But we had a scrimmage the week before he was on, and they did pretty good against that. I don't know who they scrimmaged, some team from Michigan up there, but they had made the championship game in WFA. Shoot, I'm stumbling for words here. But they had a good scrimmage, and he was telling me they learned a lot, you know, from a team that made the championship game, that they, it showed these girls a lot of where they needed to be. And, that's great. That's what this stuff's about. There's so much of this goes on where these teams don't want to get back to scrimmaging or working out or whatnot. So it's really good to have him on. And like I said, we talked for a little bit that week before and just about those very things. And, you know, I know that they're not going to have a whole bunch of players. He told me that they had several bail out when the hitting started. And I guess they're like everybody else. I know the Thunder lost, my God, like 7 or 8 players within a 2 or 3 week span there, you know, and I'm talking like good players that's hard to replace. And when you get look at it in the end, there you stand with a bunch of young, unexperienced, unknowledged, green new players. So it's tough, but nevertheless, well, I think Chevany's joined us, so let's see if she's on here and what she's got going on. How about it, Miss Debbie, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, good to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, doing good. Well, I've been talking about it all night, about this matchup, not a week from this coming Saturday. I have no doubt y'all going to put on a good showing as far as everything that you can do, you know, as far as field and all that wise. I know y'all really been practicing hard and been working at it for quite a while. How ready are you?
Well, you know, like we're saying about your team having a lot of inexperienced players, you know, and I think that goes for me as well. I do, of course, have some with experience, but I have a lot of new young ladies, you know, as well, and they're catching on. So, you know, this past weekend we were supposed to have a scrimmage, and that unfortunately didn't happen. So we're kind of going in, you know, blind. Half of these girls have never been in a live game situation. So, you know, it'll definitely be a wake-up call. You know, I want to say that they're ready. You know, but going into it, there's going to be mistakes, and we're okay with mistakes, you know, as long as you learn from them and, you know, go into the second game and, you know, do what you're supposed to do, you know.
You know, and this is just exactly what I said a minute ago, is no matter what happens on the first game, whether you win or you lose, nobody's winning a championship that day. And if you win, that's great. You probably made a lot of mistakes and you still won. You got a lot to clean up. If you lose, you probably made more mistakes. And it's what you do from that point that's going to make you or break you for the season. This one game, and you know, that don't just go for women's football. That goes for any level of football. You know, the unfortunate part for most of us, and especially you, because the game didn't happen it was supposed to, and it was so late you couldn't find anybody, you know, and I really hate that, because that's work that you need to lay eyes on. You know, you see it in practice and you see, man, I think they're going to be good, but until you put somebody on the other side that's trying their best, that's not wearing one of your uniforms, it's a different situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, going against your own teammates is very different. You know, and some of these women have never been hit before, you know, and I need them to be hit. You know, I need to, you know, them to be ready for what they have, you know, that's going to be coming across that line, you know. So I think it's going to be a rude awakening, you know, for a lot of my young ladies that have never, you know, experienced before. You know, I have a great line. Unfortunately, we lost one of our key players at practice about 3 weeks ago. Tore her foot out, just had to have surgery, tore two major compartments in her foot. So, you know, she'll be out for the season, which is huge, you know. But I believe in my girls, you know. It always gets even more closer you get to the first game. You know, like I said, I've owned my team for 7 years. So, you know, we're not new to this. You know, we're just new to the women's side of things. So, but I believe in them. You know, Sunday is going to be a long practice, and, you know, I hope they're ready for it.
Well, how many – now, I know you got about 28 players, and right now I'd say more than anybody else has. Well, I know it is. I know how many big teams have. But – and it don't matter. Basically, essentially, it don't matter, because if you got 30 and – 25 of them never played before, you've got a lot of green horns. But my point is, how many inexperienced young players do you have out of that 28?
Honestly, probably about 16, 17 that have never played before.
Yeah. And then out of that 16 or 17, how many of them are just way behind the others?
Well, I want to say we had a little girl start about 2 weeks ago, and she ran track. So, you know, she's fast. She's got good hands. And, I mean, and she's picking it up. You know, she's on the defensive side of things. And she's picking it up. But, I mean, I think the nerves are kind of starting to get to them. You know, they're kind of getting a little yappy with one another, you know. I just need the to come to practice. We have good numbers at practice. I mean, we never really have under 22 at practice, and I only have 3 girls from Richmond. All of my other girls live in Virginia Beach. Just got one from Baltimore, DC, and then, you know, I've got 2 in Fredericksburg. So nobody lives here in Richmond. So they're traveling 2 to 4 hours to come to practice every single weekend. So they are dedicated, you know, but like I said, I do have good numbers at practice. We have, I will say, at the minimum 22 at practice. You know,
well,
some.
That's pretty good number. That's probably up there about 80%.
Right.
Know?
Correct.
And I'll tell you this. I know several years ago I had a coach on here from California that was going to play Division One championship football in the WFA, and he had 55 or 60 players, and he only got 30 to 35 at practice on a regular basis. So he was down there around 50-some percent. And I know some other teams that right now that are in the WNFC that only get players there about once a month or once every other weekend or something. But so you're ahead of the curve as far as found. And unless you have, you know, let's say out 25 players, unless they're all veterans, then most of them, half of them are going to have experience, and the other half are going to be, half of them are going to be a lot farther along than others. So if you got 25, you're basically going to go play with about 18 that's probably somewhat ready to play.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not saying, listen, in this day and time, the way, you know, I say it, I don't think they're as tough as what they are. It takes more players, you know. You're going to have more. I know back when we first started this Thunder team, we played a whole year with 14 players, man. And,
right.
You know, there wasn't no different divisions. And I'd be scared to death to have to go play with 14 right now.
Right. Well, that's just like on my men's team. You know, last season when we won the North Carolina League, we had 80 players registered, and when it came down to the championship, we had about 37. It came down to about them 37 that showed, and we won, and, you know, went to nationals and won and stuff like that. But, you know, it seems to be the lower numbers that you have show up at games, they're the ones that want it the most. You know, they give their all, you know, because and the more you have, the more nonsense and the more toxicity you have on your sideline.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I'm saying is when I said you got 18 out of those 25, they're going to do most of your playing. That's pretty much right. And you know what? And I watch a lot of high school football. And around here, these teams they go in Tennessee 1A to 6A. So I'm watching from 1A to 6A, basically 3 and 4A on a regular basis. And even though they got 60 players, I'm still going to tell you that only 20 or so do all the playing. You know, even with that many players, I mean, they might run a few of them on kickoff return. You start talking about offense and defense, all those the best players are out there playing, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's if they got that many. So it sort of, you know, it may start out as, you know, I'm going to use all these players. But as the game goes along and the season goes along and everything starts to become tight and you get down nitty-gritty, you're going to start leaning on those players than what you had before.
Right.
Well, how many coaches do y'all have? I know you had several before.
Yeah, I had one that tore his Achilles, so he's no longer there. I have 8 or 9 coaches. I have several coaches.
Right.
I have one. My co-owner actually had to come out. He ended up having to have a triple bypass and some major heart issues. So he's no longer with us. And then I had, like I said, I had a coach that tore his Achilles. So he's no longer there. But I have about 8 coaches. And the good thing is my coaches have coached together for 7 years through all of my men. And then 5 of them actually played together semi-pro for like the last 15, 20 years. So they're, you know, they all work together, you know, in one form or another, you know, and have won multiple championships. So, you know, they all feed off of one another, which can also kind of be a pain because one will say something and the other will hop in. We're like, hold up, slow your road, stay with your position, you know.
Yeah,
but it's cool because we're all just one big family.
Well, you know what, and that's sort of what's. You know, when I talked to Michael here in a little bit, and I've talked to him a bunch too, he's sort of in the same boat. His coaches have been coaching together for a long time, you know, and I just think that for me, and listen, I've never had near that many coaches, and to be able to have that many is a huge, huge plus. But, you know, it's hard. It's, if you got that many and they get along and everybody knows what their plans are and their job is, then everything's fine. But when they don't, then that's when I just seem not have them, you know.
Right.
And that's why me and Mike have been here forever. Is, you know, we got a plan and we work that plan. And there's times we need help and you don't have it, but you know, I just soon do it myself, have the wrong people in there and have to redo it. But you know, I was just thinking today that I know that the Prowl have a huge coaching staff and you have a huge coaching staff. Probably nobody else is going to have that big a coaching staff. And I just think that's going to be a plus for both of y'all. You know, I think that, you know, it's going to be a heck of a matchup on April the 1st. I really believe it'll probably be the best matchup of the weekend. I think it's going to be a great one. And man, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited because the way the Jamboree's going to fall, I should be able to watch it.
Yeah, I hope so. It's going to be fun for sure. You know, and if not, you know, like I said, I've got a professional company coming and live streaming the game. So I'll definitely send you the link.
What time is y'all's game over there?
It's at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Yeah, that we should be well done by then. And I want to watch it because I think that's going to be a great matchup just by you taking everything serious and your team and all that trickles down from up above. You know, that's
right.
That's
absolutely
the key. Owners don't take it serious, then nobody takes it serious, you know. Somebody's got to be the bad person to roll it all downhill. That's unfortunately been me for many years, but nevertheless, it is what it is, you know. And I like it. I'll just be honest. I like somebody to be in charge and be in control and know what they want and want to see things done that way. And that's going to be a great matchup for y'all.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I know one of the players, I can't remember what her name is, but, I mean, you know, we've kind of clicked on Facebook, and, you know, she's reached out to me, and I've reached out to her. She actually plays on the other team. You know, so I've definitely reached out to her, and I think the gentleman also, I've spoke to one of the coaches, you know, and gave him the information and stuff like that. You know, I just want us all to be on the same accord. You know, everybody get along, come, have a good game. To me, it doesn't matter. Of course, we want to win, but if we don't, that's cool, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's all about having fun and building, you know, relationships and, you know, stuff like that for these women because that's what it's about.
Well, you know, it's just like I told Coach Keith the other night. I mean, my nephew actually made the state basketball championship, Murfreesboro, and I went to watch him play and was coming home. And Coach Keith from Michigan Queens asked me if I had a minute. We talked a little bit coming up the road. And you know, that's what we were talking about. Listen, when we go to play that game, anybody, whoever we play, if it's against you or Michael or whoever, I want to win. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to be happy if I lose, but I'm not going to just show my ass. And, you know, you know what I'm saying? I don't take losing good. I don't say probably nobody does. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not personal. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the way we have to handle it, you know, win, lose, or draw. And you know what? You get better. That's just all there is to it. If you don't like getting beat, get better.
Right. See, and this is new for me as far as the women. So coming from the men's side of things, we're used to always being, you know, being champions, mm-hmm. always. So, you know, with the women, there's a lot of emotions that you don't deal with on the men's side of things. So it is 100% a wake-up call, even for myself and the way I'm handling my own self, because with the men, I can come at them one, you know, a way that I can't come at my women. You know what I'm saying? You know, I have to really take into consideration the way I'm talking to them sometimes because, like I said, it's totally different with men, and I can come Billy Badass to the men, but with the women, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, but at the end of the day, I'm here to win, and I expect something from you. So if I'm giving 100% of me, I want 100% of you at all times as well.
I'm with you. I'm glad to know I'm not the only asshole out there. You know what I mean?
Now, if we can get all the other owners on this page and answer my questions and respond when I make posts, you know, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? That's what winning means to you. You know what I mean? That's when you get excited about it. You know, you expect it. Well, now, we all can't win all the time, and we know that, and you hope to, but you expect to. You know what I mean? That's what you practice for. That's what you perform for. And, you know, if your goal is not to win a championship this year, then my opinion is you're failing your team.
I agree. And my coaches say this to them every single time. And, you know, the girls, they sit there and they look at our men's championship rings and they're like, I want that. At the end of the day, this is what we're here for, you know, and I want them to have that. But we can't lead them to the water. They got to want to drink it. You know what I mean?
You bet. That's exactly right. You're exactly right. So, and that's, you know, you can only do what you can do with. And I get it. You don't a lot of times. And this may be it for you or for Michael's team or this Thunder team, you may not have the personnel to win it all, but that's still the goal. That's still the standard is
absolutely
championship or bust. You know, for me, I'm not regular wins. Oh, well, you win because it's, I'm not good at that. I don't take that crap too good. I don't believe everybody should get a trophy. You know, I'm not that kind of person. I want to win, and if I don't, we're going to figure out why and work harder and try our best to change it, you know. So.
Absolutely.
Right. 70, hey, I really appreciate you coming on and get us that link and, you know, tell us before you leave where you're going to have this game and how they can follow your team and all that, because we're looking forward to a great game.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be playing at Manchester Middle School at 7 p.m. I think you have the flyer. If not, you can find it on my RVA Lady Tomahawks page. Game, like I said, is at 7 p.m. Refs are already booked. I've got the professional live streaming going. I've got the photographer that I've already paid for. He'll be coming so I can share, you know, the photos with the other team as well. So, you know, if there's any questions, you have my number. You can call me, whatever you need. We will be here.
All righty. Hey, I appreciate you coming on here, and I want to wish you the best
absolutely
of luck, and I'm going to be tuning in.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right. Awesome. Ebony Jackson from the RVA Tomahawks. They're getting ready for the season opener, and we got Michael Vitale on here from the Detroit Prowl. Let's hear him talk a little bit. How about it, Coach? You there?
I am here. How are you?
Hey, brother, how's it going?
Man, it is fantastic. It was great listening to Shebany. I cannot wait to meet her. I cannot wait to meet their team. We are so looking forward to the matchup. And, you know, yeah, it is just so exciting. She seems like an incredible human being and an incredible owner. You know, and you know, we got lots of the same traits with these players.
It's absolutely. Well, that's what I was telling her, man. The way y'all's approach to what you're doing is mirrors each other a lot. And you know, with her coaching staff that's been there for a while and been together, and your coaches that been there, they haven't been there a while, but they've been together a while, and. You know, you've got some veteran players. She's got some veteran players. Both of you got green new players. And, man, it should be a heck of a matchup.
Well, you know, I hope we put on a show enough for everybody. I'm going to tell you, we haven't we've been trying to finalize everything over the last couple weeks. And we finally have our home field, made that agreement, and signed all those papers in the last couple days. Can't wait to get down to Virginia and talk to and deal with their team and just have a blast with it. But you know, when people start coming up to the Detroit area, you know, we're playing at Allen Park High School. It is a brand new field. There's been one football game played on this field by the time we play. I mean, it is, the complex looks like about a $10 million complex that they put in. From the press box down, everything's digital. The turf is incredible. I mean, I can't wait for the season to start.
Right, man. I'm excited for y'all. Like I said, we're gonna tune in. The way the Jamboree is gonna fall for us is the Thunder plays the first two games of that, and then we're done, and so we should be able to. By the time it should be all done, by the time y'all kick off tonight, you know, that's one thing I told these girls. I'm looking forward to watching the game between those two teams, because I just feel like the teams, if you took and just put different jerseys on them each week, that they looked the same, and I've never seen any of them. But, you know, by talking to you and by talking to her quite a bit, I just get that feeling.
Well, you know, that's the biggest part of this is you know, making sure that things go well on Saturday. And she's right. You know, win or lose, as long as things go well. And, you know, sometimes you learn more from a loss than a win. But you'd like to get the season started off well. And that's going to be huge. That's why we do this in the first place. And I realize that, and every one of the owners realizes that. And sometimes that's got to light a fire under the players too, for them to perform. You know, we can only coach so hard. We can only put a team together so hard.
Amen, brother. You can. It 1 week from Saturday, it's all out of everybody's hands but the players.
Yes. And that's the shocking thing that I've seen.
That's
with
the scary part.
Is that you know, you can teach, and okay, we got it right, and they can repeat it back as well as possible. But you know, all things change when you strap it on. When you hear that click inside of your helmet, when you finally strap it on, man, that changes a person's perspective on life.
For y'all, when you line up out there and they place that orange tee on the ground, and the whistle blows and the other team's looking there and they're wanting it just as bad as you, that's when you're really going to find out what you have, and she's going to find out what she has, you know. That's the beauty of football, man.
Right. You know, it doesn't mean and any given Saturday at this point, right? You know, any given Saturday, anything could happen. So yeah, we are looking forward to putting the uniforms on and checking it out and seeing what the USWFL has got for us.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, man, and I said it earlier before even Chevany came on. I'm really excited about this year. You know, I've talked to every owner. Well, I've talked to every owner this week, and. You know, everybody is excited. Of course, I ain't going to say they're ready to go, because I don't know if you ever think you're ready or prepared. But, you know, they're ready for the kickoff day, you know. And
right.
And I think it possibly be the best season the USWFL has ever had, because I think the teams and the owners and the coaches of those teams are more serious than ever before.
Well, I can tell you, I've been around Coach Fenton, our head coach, for 28 football seasons. I think, you know, there's always concern, there's always question, there's always, you know, hopes and fears. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you got to trust your coaching staff to coach them as well as you can coach them. You got to trust your players to take that coaching and put it on the field, and see exactly how things are going to roll. You know, it's that first hit that wakes you up. But after that, there's another 60 minutes of football you better be prepared for, because
you
there's
bet.
More than just the first hit.
Yes, you're correct. And I'm telling you, you know, I always say, and you know, this is always amazing to me. And I see it in college football, and you do too in the pros, and we've talked about it certain players you think is just going to be awesome. And, hey, man, when they get that bell rung, then all of a sudden that leaves them. And then the person that, you know, you thought was way behind just steps up. You know, they just relish that opportunity. And, you know, that's when you got to be able to pull that trigger right then and there and say, hey, here, you know what, we were wrong. And, hey, listen, I've made those mistakes. I've seen it in practice and thought I was right. Till then the game time comes on. Some of these girls and guys, too, are just gamers. You know what I mean? Just terrible practice players.
Listen, that is absolute fact. And it's not just, you know, it's not just women football. It is football,
no.
Period. Sometimes, you know, there's a reason they call it, you know, the bus player, because they look good coming off the bus and uh-oh, something happened. And, you know, looks like Tarzan plays like his little son. So you got to get things into a great perspective before you strap it on, and then keep it in perspective for that 60 minutes and let it fly as best you can.
You bet, man. I'll tell you, like I said, I put a lot of emphasis on this because, you know, I don't know anybody I do know people that care if they win or lose, but I don't know anybody in this league that doesn't want to win. And you know, win, lose, or draw, either way, it's not going to defy what happens in July. Of course, you know, you want to stack wins on top of wins, and you want to kick off the season with a win, but, you know, no matter what happens, it's not the end of the year and all that. And, you know, for me, every time that I've ever opened the season with a loss, it's just made me bear down harder.
Right. Well, but it also gives your players a perspective, especially the young ones, though, the ones that have never played, that what is expected. Sometimes it takes that to wake you up. You know, you can just look at the NFL and watch, you know, you're one of the greatest dynasties of the 2000s with the Patriots, and they were always not great at the beginning of the season. But, you know, once you figure out what you have in a game, because you can think you have it in practice, but once you find out what's going on in the game, you're going to understand what you need to do. And that's what Saturday, April 1st, is going to be. You know, we're going to figure out what we have to do. RVA is going to figure out what they need to do. And then April 2nd, we're going to wake up. The sun's going to come up, and we're going to have to figure out what's next. And,
yes.
And make those plans for, you know, for us 2 weeks later.
Right. Yeah, that's well, y'all be what, hosting the 2 weeks? Y'all be hosting the Michigan team, what, on April the 5th?
Right.
And,
right.
You know, here's the thing that for me that, you know, and I said this earlier, is that, you know, we lost the game 2 years ago, lost the first game, and it was up in that area where y'all are going to play the RVA team. And we lost that week, and then the very next week we had to turn around and go right back to the similar area to play another team. And, you know, me and Mike, we moved practice to Sunday instead of Saturday so we could go up there and scout that game, you know. And had we won, we probably don't do that. You know, we probably don't make that trip. But being we lost, and I sure didn't want to start out with two losses, not knowing anything about those teams, man, we made that long trip. So those losses, man, they put a sour taste in your mouth and make you want to really bear down.
Listen, I've never been a gracious loser. I'm not an angry loser, but I don't like it. Now, I will go shake hands and I'll, you know, give hugs and high fives and, you know, good job. But there is nothing worse than taking that loss and realizing that you didn't do what you needed to do. But, you know, you got to deal with them, and you got to deal with them as well as you can. You don't have to like it, but you better learn from it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I tell everybody all the time, I hate to lose more than I like to win, and I love to win, you know, so that's a lot, you know, but, you know, I try to, and listen, we just said it before, is I try to prepare so that I'm not going to hopefully lose. But, you know, once that game starts and you get on that field, I mean, I can call the plays, but I can't go run the plays. You know what I'm saying? It's out of my hands at that point, you know, and there's only so much. I know so many coaches, well, it's just this simple. Players win and coaches lose. That's just the way it is. You know that, and I know that. It's really so unfortunate because it's really not that way at all, in my opinion.
Well, your opinion is absolutely right. Coaches coach, players play, and a player will always – players will always win games, okay? Coaches need to take the loss because they need to teach. And it may be something that you've missed. It may be something that you think you have on the field that you realize that during the game it's not going to work anymore. So that's why, you know, that, and I understand the thought process. But it is a team game. And that team is both coaches and players. It's owners. Yeah. It's management. It's everybody. So
it's a joint effort.
If a loss doesn't hurt the entire organization, it's not a big enough priority for you. You better rethink that.
Yeah. I see this all the time, and what happens in pro baseball and basketball, they start talking about these teams tanking it. And you know what? I could never be a part of an organization that does that.
No.
You know, there's way more to me and my, my sanity for me to ever cash it in at any point till it's over. You know, and these teams that are making a million, these guys making millions of dollars playing that, and the coaches. How do you as a coach, you know, just say, we're gonna throw in the town, just go through the motions? How do you practice? What would you tell those guys at practice, man?
You know, I'm an owner of a football team right now. I can't accept that kind of thought process.
I
tell you, you know, we're not making millions of dollars, but the fire burns in every single person on my organization. Okay.
Right. That's the way it should be.
And that's the way it's got to be.
You bet. That's the way it should be. It better be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Chevany and the RVA Tomahawks, the Lady Tomahawks, they seem to understand that also, which is great because all the better the competition, the better the league, the better we all are.
Yes, sir.
And that's part of what all this is about.
Well, that's why I say it's going to be one heck of a matchup, I really believe, because they've never played as a women's team. They've got that men's team that they've won a lot with, and those coaches have coached those men, but coaching men's way different coaching women. You know that as well as
yes.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
The way women respond, some are better and some are worse, and I just really believe that with the way you approach things and the way she approaches things and the way your coaching staff and her coaching staff is going to do, I just think that you're going to see two teams that are prepared as much as they possibly can for this early in the year and great organizations that, you know, are doing everything they can to move on to the next week and see what happens from there, you know, and that to me, that's what great matchups are about.
Absolutely, you know, unless Chevany wants to go ahead and call and put this together again 6 weeks from now, that'd be perfect because then we could both have six more weeks of practice, and I'm sure we'd all love that, huh?
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. But nevertheless, you know, I really am excited. It's 1 week from this Saturday. It seems like it's been, forever. I know the last time that we actually played a real game was in July of last year. And of course, some of your girls and y'all have played some, but as a team, you haven't. And her girls are the same way. They've played on a few other teams, but as a team, they haven't played a game. So, really, I'm just telling you, when you look at it, if not knowing who's who, I don't think you would know who's who until you hear you talk. And to me, that's what football is about.
Right, right. I like I said, I cannot wait for the matchup. I cannot wait to meet their coaches and meet their players, and certainly meet with 70, because I think it's that what women's football needs is a far more competitive balance than what it's seen for a while. You know, you've had a couple of major teams that are big and winning big time, but you know, it's the competition that needs to stiffen up, and I have a feeling that that the RVA Lady Tomahawks and the Detroit Prowl are going to put on hopefully put on a great show for everybody.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, I'm going to touch on something there, because I know for a fact that you know more about this than me, but I've seen it from now. There's not on the East Coast, there's not too many of these Division I teams that actually have tough matchups week in and week out. They play Division IIs and Division III teams along the way, so they're not getting those tough matchups week in and week out.
No, I that's my personal opinion. No, they don't. And you're right. They play Division IIs. They play Division IIIs. And you know, I hate to throw it back to historical perspective, but you know, it's not like 20 years ago. You know, there were more compressed teams. There were more teams with bigger rosters, and there was probably more talent per team than there is spread all over now. So you had some pretty huge matchups week in and week out.
Yes. Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think the competitive balance is going to be huge this year, and I love it. I love it.
And me too. And I think that, you know, and that's counting the Iron Woman teams versus the mid-major team. I just think that, you know, of course, you know, it, just because you got a bunch of players don't mean anything. We know that. You got to coach them up, and you know, you could take, even in NFL, every year all those teams have the same amount of players, and some are good and some are bad. So we know how that goes. But, you know, as a rule of thumb, you know, you have more players, you're going to have a better team, because you got that, you know, you got more to choose your 11 from. And
right.
But I'm going to tell you, man, one of the best teams that I ever had, we had 14 on. And it was in Iron Woman division. And, man, they loved to play. And they played their guts out, you know. And that, to me, that's what I see that we're lacking at the top level of women's football for these bigger teams, because the players are just not balling out and, you know, or selling out, however you want to say that, like they used to. I mean, it's sort of what you just said, the talent. It's not there. You know, there used to be more talent on one team than there is now on four or five.
That's a fact. I mean, you know, it in trying to build women's football, one of the things that needs that really needs a good push is great teaching, but also great students of the game. You know, you can be an average athlete and still be an incredible football player.
Yes.
You know?
And
that's part of what our focus is in building this new team and putting it together is, you know, we're not going to have 75 players on a roster like I did 20 years ago. We don't have that. That's not what this is about anymore. So you do the best you can. You teach the best you can. You put together the best team you can. And you go out and you try to make a splash in it. You know, and get people some experience and hopefully put on a great show.
Right. Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because you, and to be honest, you talk about your athletes, not just because they're not great athletes don't mean they're not great players. And I'm going to tell you, and, you know, the team that we've got here is a proven fact of that. You know, we're not loaded with a bunch of racehorses, so to speak, or track stars or nothing of that nature, you know. But what we are loaded with is girls that are tough, that want to listen, that want to play, that don't like to lose. And, you know, just what you said, they listen, you know. And when I tell them, hey, when we're not fast, here's what we got to do. And when we're not better athletes than them, here's what we got to do. And you know what? If you do that, we're going to be successful. And, man, the beauty when that comes together.
One of the things that I've seen, and this is just maybe it's my personal opinion with this, is that you got to be honest with yourself and your team, okay?
You know,
there's no way, shape, or form that any women's football team is pulling, you know, someone that runs like, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., okay,
right.
or Tariq Hill. You're not going to find those players. But what you're looking to do is make sure that your team is at that same level, is all at the same level, and they're performing together, because that's what it is. It's all about consistency. You know, I don't see Patrick Mahomes, you know, coming and trying out for the Detroit Prowl this year. So we're going to put together the best quarterbacks, the best team that we can put together, get them on the same page, and let it go. That's exactly what we got to do.
Well, and you touched on it a minute ago, and it's really so true that, you know, it don't happen as much as coach them up and you teach them and you learn them the game. And you know, Michael, it takes a lot of time to do that. And what I found, that most of these coaches are not willing to do that. You know, this last week I had Coach Keith on from the Michigan Queen, and, you know, me and him were talking, and he's like, you know, I don't have very many players, but what I've got to make, you know. And these other teams, you know, they might beat me, but, you know, they're saying, hey, we took it to you, we did that. But he's like, you know what, they're getting players, they're getting these all-star players from other teams that they don't have to coach. You know, we have to make our players. And I'll tell you right now, I can relate to that 100%, man.
Well, you know, so can I. And I'll tell you, yes, you know, we've signed some big free agent players. I will tell you that at this particular point in time, they're all the same. They are all rookies to us, because what we are teaching and what we are doing is unlike anything any of the players that have signed with our team have ever seen or been taught before at all.
Right.
So, you know, we talk about all the veterans, talk about all the rookies that have never played a snap. But you know what? Come Saturday, guess what's going to happen? We're all going to take that first snap together, and we're all going to have to figure out what our performance is going to be for those 60 minutes. That's it. That is it. It's who can teach, who can make the adjustments, and that's just simple football. Boys, girls, men, women, doesn't matter. That's just simple football.
Right. Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, let me ask you this. I'm not trying to get you to give away your plays or any playbooks or none of that nature. But in all reality, and I know, because, you know, we do play two different teams this week and sort of got to prepare for two different teams. Basically, just it's a full game, but two different teams, and I feel that they're going to be a mirror of one another and a mirror of the team that we had a joint practice and scrimmage with. But, you know, my play calling is going to be cut way in half, because it's real still early. You know, we haven't got to broaden their brains yet, you know. So how much are y'all going to be at your full – playbook, or are y'all going to be at the same capacity, or that, you know, that I'm talking, or what are you looking at?
Listen, I'm not gonna hide anything from you. I'm also not gonna spell it out for you. I will tell you, is any team right now, a week out from the first game, is any team where they need to be playbook wise? Not even close.
You know what's
going to be the difference, and this is what's going to be great about the matchup with RVA and their coaches and our coaches, is the fact that, you know, there's few things we haven't done as a staff. Okay, there's probably very few things that their staff has not done or been through. But that's what's going to, who's going to get their team to respond the way they want them to respond. And that's it. I promise you, we can call Shebany back right now and we'll talk it over. Get her coaches on. I'll tell her the same thing. There is no way they're a full playbook. There's no way we're a full playbook. There's no way you're a full playbook.
No. I'm way away from it.
We're giving away national secrets, man. That's, you know, we all want six more weeks and 30 players on each side of our ball right now. That just ain't going to happen at this point.
Well, you know, Joe Theismann used to be the quarterback for the dang Redskins. And, you know, I heard him say the year that they won the Super Bowl, his quarterback, they had 13 plays is all they run out three different formations. You know, think about that.
I'll tell you, sometimes the KISS method is the best way to do things. And again, I'm not giving away national secrets, but, you know, keep it simple, stupid that ought to be on every coach's wall. You know, stop making brain surgery, you know, out of a splinter.
Right. Well, you know, it is that way. And you know what? I do think we're talking about coaches winning or you know, losing the games and players. I do think these teams get away from lots of things that work to try other things that don't work. And if you got the game in hand, that's one thing. But if you're in a tight game, you better stick with what's working till, you know, and then figure it out along the way. Because, listen, I'll tell you right now, if I have to run the ball 100% of the time to win a football game, I will run it 100% of the time. If I have to throw it 100% of the time to win a football game, I will throw it 100%. I'm not that person that says, oh, I got to be balanced. I got to be this. I want to win, and whatever gives me the best opportunity to win, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, you know, you're right. When you start talking with other coaches, you know what the big balance is between winning and losing, right? And it's very simple. Here's the balance you need for offensive plays. You score more points than the other team. That's the balance you need. At the end of the game, that's it.
Yeah. You know how I and this is a true story. People ask me, how balanced do you want to be? I said, you know what? At the end of a game, I look at all my plays and see which ones was positive yards. The ones that are positive yards, I keep. The ones that are negative yards, I throw away, and that's my balance. That's where I'm at. And that ain't no philosophy. I was like, well, hey, if I'm continuing negative plays, why do I need to keep running them?
You know, if people forget, well, why didn't that work? Well, you know, there's another team across the way. This ain't a scrimmage. You know, you better start thinking about what that team's going to stop also.
You bet. Hey, Michael, before you go, man, Shebany's still on there. Let's get her back on there real quick. We'll talk this. Shebany, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, I got Michael on here.
Hey, Shebany, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are looking forward to making the trip.
Awesome. If you need anything, please call me and let me know.
You're going to hear from me this weekend at some point.
Awesome. Anytime.
All right.
You know, we're sitting here talking, and you know, I, and like I said, I wouldn't ask nobody to give their playbook away, but, you know, we're just betting that, you know, at this point in the season, nobody's got, you know, I mean, of course, hell, I don't even know how many plays certain teams got. But, you know, the fact of the matter is if you try to use every play in your damn playbook, hey, you're going to run out of plays before you ever get started and see what really works.
Right.
And, you know, that just, you know, what got me on the subject was, you know, we got to actually prepare for two teams. And, of course, I think they're both going to be just about alike. So the approach is really going to be the same. But, you know, here I have took my playbook and probably cut it in half, you know, and that's what got me on the subject of talking to Michael there, you know, and I'm not trying to get anybody to give away anything. It's just reality.
Oh, and I'm sure it's going to be like that for pretty much everybody the first game. I mean, I was looking at what my OC was sending to two of our quarterbacks, and he was like, you know, here's the script of the first 15 plays. And I'm like, holy crap, you know, I'm sure we'll do about seven of those the first, you know, the first game. But yeah, that's definitely true, because come first game, their nerves are going to be, you know, all up in the air. So, you know, I just want them to have a successful, you know, game, and everyone stay safe and no injuries. And, you know, that's what's most important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing over here. Wait, your OC got 15 of 15. No. We can't script 15 right now. I'm just going to say that. Okay.
So, wait, me either.
Again, not a national secret at all, but I'm just saying, you know.
Hey, you know what? I script 15, and they're all the same one. They're just wrote down 15 different times.
Hey, look, game one, yeah. Looking at, hey, what's the wristbands look like? Wristbands look empty right now. I'm just telling you.
You bet. Hey, you're not wrong, man. I'm telling you. I'm in the same boat, and that, you know, that's what I say. It's not rocket science, man. I'm telling you, I got some. I'm sure y'all do too, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. But I got some girls that, when you're talking to them, look at you like they're in outer space, man. You know, and I've been talking to these girls for a long time. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, there ain't too many plays that I can run that they can understand.
Our coach, you know, sometimes. Like, okay, we got to kind of dummy it down a little bit. These are girls, and being a woman, I'm like, hold on, what's that supposed to mean? You know, like, yeah, let's not dummy it down.
Right. You know, you have to bring the students up. You can't teach at their level. You got to bring them up, and that's what's going to change women's football, is making sure every one of these players, every one of these assistant coaches, they're forcing everybody up a level and performing at that level. And then it actually takes the coaches some time to get used to that, because sometimes you got to up yourself with these things and your knowledge and your experience and hope you're dragging the rest of the team with you and not dragging it down.
Yeah, it really is challenging. And, you know, for me, I see so many of these teams out here, and especially teams that have been within, like where Shebany's at, there's a bunch of teams up there, and she knows, she'll find out if she don't know what I'm talking about. But these teams around us here, the coaching has been horrendous. And, I mean, you know, I'd get a player or two from their team, and they're like, and I'll be honest, I'd say, what position do you play? Well, I've been on the team, but they never would let me play. Well, you know, after 3 or 4 practice, shit, I got them in a starting role. And I'm like, man, how? And they've never won a game. I'm like, how do you keep a player like this from playing and you never win a game? But you know what? They don't know how to teach them. They don't know how to get on their level to get them ready to play. That's what it's about. And that's what is so sad across the board when I see women's football. And that's one reason I'm so excited about y'all's matchup, is because I know Shebany's coaches are good and serious, and I know, Michael, your coaches are good and serious, and both organizations are are striving to be the best organization and the best team. And that's going to make the best game. You know, there's no doubt in my mind.
Well, I'll tell you, we are looking forward to the matchup. You know, every one of our players has really tried to focus on making sure they're going to be ready for a competition at a very high level next week Saturday. You know, looking forward to seeing what that competition is going to be like. And, you know, and looking forward to bonding with these other coaches and this other team as best as we can, because no matter what the outcome is, you know, when 10 o'clock runs around, you know, on Saturday, we need to make women's football better. We need to make each other better. We need to make these players better, no matter what we do, no matter what the outcome is.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Well, man, I appreciate both y'all coming on. I won't take up any more of your time. I'm looking, man, I'm serious. You can't imagine how much I'm looking forward to this matchup. Like I say, we'll be done playing by then, and I can't wait to watch it. And because I just know that both of y'all are going to be as prepared as you possibly can be at this point in the season. And I just think that that's going to be a huge key down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So
yeah, I want to put on a great show for RVA. I want to put on a great show for you and the fans, and take that first step, no matter how unstable it may be.
Absolutely.
I appreciate both of y'all being on here. And hey, we'll talk soon to both of y'all, and I wish you both the best of luck.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Miss Shebney, we'll talk soon.
All right, thank you all both, man. Miss Shebney Jackson and Michael Vitale, and I'm telling you, you're going to get a chance to watch any football. Tune into that. I guarantee you, she's going to have a good live stream person. There's no doubt in my mind. Tune into that game. It's at 7 o'clock Eastern time. It's gonna be a great one. So be sure and tune into that. Man, I can't thank them enough for coming on and getting them both back on together. Great conversation. Next week, I'm gonna, like I say, try to have the three Iron Woman teams owners on. Talk to them. Maybe I can get all three of them on the same time. Really looking forward to season starting. What a great show, great conversation with people tonight, and man, just really excited to get this going. So appreciate everybody for listening and tuning in. Again, thank JC Hawk Sports Network for giving us this opportunity. So until next Thursday, we'll see you then.